When the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June, the decision hit like an earthquake. In many states, the impact was immediate.
Minutes after the Supreme Court's decision, Missouri's attorney general making the state the first in the country to effectively ban abortion.
Here in Kentucky, abortions are now illegal.
Today, in 11 states, from Oklahoma to Kentucky, abortion...
signature making abortions illegal in Arkansas, with the only...
As new bans took effect, doctors and hospitals and lawyers all struggled to adjust. But the biggest effect has been on individual Americans and their families. Today, we're launching a new series called Days and Weeks about how the new laws are affecting people's lives. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin is here to tell us more about the series. Hey there.
Hi, Elsa.
So tell us about the people you've been hearing from.
Oh, it's a huge range of people. I mean, I talked to a 14-year-old. We heard from people in their mid-40s, from Michigan to Georgia to Arizona. It's just incredible how many different people have been affected in a variety of ways.
Yeah. So who do you want to introduce us to first?
First, I want to introduce you to Carla Renee and her husband, Sam Renee. They live in a little house outside of Raleigh, and their house is surrounded by fragrant pine trees.
Wow, it smells so good.
I visited them earlier this month.
All right, Hi. Come in. I'm Sam. Nice to meet you guys.
Inside, the house was covered in Halloween decorations, like a witch hat on the record player, a skeleton decoration on the wall.
As soon as it was fall, I was like, we gotta raise our spirits. We gotta get some Halloween in here, make it spooky. So,
right. Here's the backstory on why they needed to brighten up the house. Carla got a surprise positive pregnancy test in April. She had tried to get pregnant in the past and she expected to need fertility treatments.
We were ecstatic. For it to just happen naturally felt like a miracle.
She was 8 weeks pregnant at her first appointment with an OBGYN.
The doctor noted that since I'll be 35 when the baby was due, I should take a screening test for genetic anomalies. And we agreed to do the test, and we scheduled our next appointment for a month out.
For the next few weeks, Carla says she was just blissfully pregnant. But at the 12-week appointment, during an ultrasound, the doctor noticed something unusual. Extra fluid had accumulated behind the neck of the fetus. Their doctor couldn't give them a lot of clarity about what that meant.
She explained that lots of babies have this, and they can recover on their own. But it's still something to watch because it could be an indication of something more serious.
Meanwhile, their first round of genetic screening from a blood test indicated things were probably fine. It also told them they were having a girl.
We felt relief and we felt hope, and we started to call her Amber.
But because of what the doctor had seen on the ultrasound, she recommended a second, more comprehensive genetic test, amniocentesis. So at 16 weeks...
the amnio needle went in, fluid came out, and these results take up to 2 to 3 weeks. So it was just, there was nothing we could do but wait and hope and pray.
On June 27th, the results from the amniocentesis finally came in. Their fetus had a genetic condition called monosomy 18P. And here is what Carla and Sam Renee want people to remember in the debate about abortion. It wasn't until 18 weeks into their pregnancy that they finally got confirmation that something was seriously wrong.
A whole arm of her chromosome was completely gone. This was classified as a severe chromosomal deletion.
Their doctor said their daughter would probably have serious intellectual and physical disabilities. The Renees were in shock, but they didn't have much time to process. They had to decide quickly whether to continue or terminate the pregnancy. North Carolina had a 1973 law on the books that banned abortion at 20 weeks. It wasn't officially reinstated yet, but after the Supreme Court ruling, everyone was acting as if it was.
Because Roe v. Wade has just been overturned, hospitals are taking no chances with legal liability.
The Renees were told if they were going to end the pregnancy, they had to do it before 20 weeks or they would have to travel out of state. So they had just a few days to determine the course of the rest of their lives. This extended timeline with weeks of uncertainty and waiting for more test results is very common when there's a problem with fetal development, says Dr. Neetha Vora. She's a professor of OBGYN at UNC Chapel Hill and the director of reproductive genetics there. She says around 20 weeks is when many genetic conditions are diagnosed, or when doctors spot a problem during the anatomy scan ultrasound, which typically takes place at 20 weeks as well.
The genetic testing takes time, meeting with the specialist takes time. But another thing that takes time is the decision-making process, right? You can't make decisions so quickly when these are probably the hardest decisions these people have to make in their whole life.
She says when people live in a state with a gestational limit on abortion, they may not have much time to decide what to do.
It's not a fast process. It's not meant to be a fast process, but now artificially it is becoming a fast process, and that's very difficult for people.
For Sam and Carla Renee, the clock was ticking.
Those days were kind of a frenzy of research.
Monosomy 18p is a rare disorder. People with the condition can have head and face malformations and other physical and mental disabilities, but which ones really depend on how much of the chromosome is missing. Doctors told Carla and Sam that in their case, the chromosomal arm was totally gone. They stressed symptoms would likely be severe.
We didn't know if she could use her legs. We never felt her kick, not even once. She could have needed surgery on her organs. There was indications that she might have needed surgery on her jaw just to be able to eat. We didn't know if she'd be able to speak.
A follow-up ultrasound had also shown their fetus now had a cystic hygroma, a type of cyst that can increase the risk of skeletal and heart problems, even death.
When you combine all of those physical and mental and emotional pieces together, I couldn't ask my daughter to walk that path. It's too much.
I wanted her so much.
I felt it would be selfish to ask her to stay and to go through all that just for us to be parents.
So after 19 weeks of a pregnancy marked in turn by delight and then uncertainty and then shock, Carla and Sam Renee decided to end their pregnancy. Carla says making that decision was an immense responsibility she feels is rightfully hers.
I'm the one who has to live with this. I'm the one who has to make the call.
Once she made that call, there was a scramble to schedule her, and at 19 weeks and 6 days, Sam and Carla went to the hospital for an abortion.
The doctors were incredibly compassionate and professional. I'll never be grateful enough for how they took care of us when our world was falling apart.
When Carla woke up, she found someone had put fuzzy gray socks on her feet. She felt cared for. She kept them. The Renees didn't do a burial, but they did make a little memorial spot. It's out in the woods behind their house near a circle of ferns, a stone marker with a wing on it. Sam bends down to gently lift a slug off the stone.
He comes out here and cleans it off.
Carla says she looks out at it from her window every morning.
Even from way up there, that wing is just like bright white. So I look out the window and I see that and I feel like there she is, you know. There's her angel wing.
Wow. This is such a brutal story, Selena. I can't imagine making a decision like this in mere days. And, you know, as I was listening, I get why you're calling this series Days and Weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that is how doctors have always measured the progress of a pregnancy. It's also the basis for many of these new anti-abortion laws. You know, there are 6-week bans and 15-week bans and so forth. And in many of the stories we'll be sharing in this series, there's a tension in the forward march of pregnancy and these limits getting closer and closer. One person told us as soon as she got pregnant, all she could think of was a giant ticking clock.
Yeah. But even with these gestational limits on abortion, I mean, don't some restrictive states have exceptions for fetal anomalies?
Actually, it's very few. Many states have exceptions for, quote, the life of the mother or rape and incest, but fetal anomaly exceptions are very uncommon. Some abortion rights opponents say terminating because of a fetal abnormality is the same as not valuing the lives of people with disabilities. I should say I spoke to a disability rights advocate who pushed back on this and supports people making their own reproductive decisions, not the state. In North Carolina, there is no exception for fetal anomalies. The Republican leader of the state Senate has said he favors a limit at 12 or 15 weeks, although he said a bill won't be introduced until sometime after the new year. And 12 weeks of pregnancy is earlier than some prenatal test results are available.
Right. Well, how are Carla and Sam doing now?
They're still processing and healing. Carla says it feels strange to watch the news these days.
It's surreal watching people fight about whether I should have had the right.
She says people who had a similar experience to hers aren't usually part of the political debates on abortion.
I don't think it's because we don't want to be considered or included. It's that this is such a deep and private pain, and it's hard to talk about.
Despite that pain, Carla does want to be part of the conversation, and that's why she's sharing her story.
That was NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin. Thank you so much for this story, Selena.
You're welcome.
And if you have a story to share about new abortion laws in your state and how they're affecting you, you can reach us at npr.org/abortionlaws.